By the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-144. Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the tape, please. This is day 6 for the Feast of Tabernacles, 1998. And let's return to the theme again, the beginning and the ending, and let's ask the question, what does God really desire? Well, we'll answer the question first and show you. The answer is, God desires an eternal spiritual relationship based upon love and the family structure. Now, let's go to the beginning, and let's look at the creation of man. Let's look at Adam and Eve for just a minute. We'll look at it from a little bit different perspective. And let's understand some very important things that God did to have a relationship with mankind. Mankind is the one who chose not to have the relationship. Let's come here to chapter 1 and verse 26. Now, after God made all of the animals, created everything, and made the environment, everything necessary for human habitation, then God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Well, that's quite a blessing to be created in this particular way, in this particular fashion, as compared to all the animals and the rest of the creation. Now, we'll just interject here, the rest of the story, being the rest of the Bible, from the beginning of God's plan to the end, is that we will be after the God kind. And if we're going to be after the God kind, then we have to have a relationship. Now, too many things have gotten totally out of hand with human relationships and church relationships and relationships with God, because people want to do it their way rather than God's way. Now, let's continue here. Now, notice what God gave all of mankind. Now, you think about this in type, what it's going to be in God giving the eternal inheritance to us who enter into the kingdom of God. Here's what he gave mankind. And let them have dominion. That is, let them be structured over and to rule over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth. So God gave the whole earth as a wonderful present and blessing to mankind. Now, we need to really understand what God did and how he desires this relationship. And that's what God created. So we are created to have a relationship with God. Let's keep that in mind. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God wanted us to be blessed so that we would develop in this relationship. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And so God revealed in this part of his plan what he had in store for mankind. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And then God said, behold, I've given you every green herb bearing fruit, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree which is the fruit of the tree, yielding seed to you, it shall be for food, and to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and everything that creeps upon the earth wherein there is life, have I given every green herb for food, and it was so. Now that's true today. Even today in eating meat, when we eat what the animal has eaten, which is grass or the herbs or whatever it is. So you see, it's true today. Now notice, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now then, in order to have this relationship with mankind, God created from the beginning the Sabbath day. This was a day for a special relationship day, if you could mark it that way or phrase it that way, where God would put his presence in the day. And it was literally so at the beginning. God put his presence in the day. He blessed the day. He sanctified the day. That is to set it aside, because in the sixth day, as it should read, not the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, that is coming right up toward the beginning of the seventh day. Everything was done. And he rested the seventh day from all his work which he made. God blessed the seventh day. And the Sabbath is part of the grace of God. The Sabbath is part of the created structure which God has given for this relationship based upon grace which he created from the beginning. Because in it that he rested from all his work which God created and made. Now then, God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God also put the true trees in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God placed a man in the Garden of Eden, a perfect, wonderful place to live for a relationship with God. Now God, after creating Adam, wanted him to know and understand that being created, he was to obey. But this was not a hierarchical thing that God was did. It was a created relationship, and all created relationships from God require obedience. And in this created relationship, there are responsibilities. So God said he was to dress and keep the garden. And he also told him he could have the freedom of eating of all the trees of the garden except the one. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, verse 17, chapter 2 now, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Because this tree, in eating of this, would destroy that relationship that God wanted to have, that God created us to be. Now let's also go on from here and understand. This is part of the covenant that God had with Adam. There were laws, there were commandments, there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God said, you shall not eat thereof. And also we understand with it, with this thing here, that he didn't die instantly, but we know from the book of Romans chapter 5 that when they ate of it, the law of sin and death was imputed to them as part of the judgment because of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we're going to understand why. Because you see, what happened with Lucifer when he fell, he broke that created relationship with God. He wanted to become something that he was not and should not and could not be. And so likewise, man is given the choice whether he will follow in that relationship with God or not. Now, in the beginning, Adam and Eve were neither mortal nor immortal. They were in between. They were not subject unto death until they ate of the tree. Now, let's come back and read the rest of the story here. Verse 18, and God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him, which means a helpmate compatible for him. Now, in order to bring this point home, so God did this. And out of the ground, God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. So in this relationship, in order to have the relationship, God not only created the man, but gave him a language, gave him a mind, gave him intelligence, gave him understanding. So when he brought the animals by for Adam to name, he was teaching two things. One, to name them. Number two, that there was nothing in all the creation for him that was compatible and suitable for him. So before God made Eve, he brought home this important lesson to Adam so that Adam would understand that in order to be complete, he had to have a woman, a wife, to have that relationship. Now let's read on here and see that. Verse 20, Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, to the beast of the field, but for Adam there was no help meet found out of all of that. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed the flesh up there instead thereof. And the rib which the God had taken from man made he a woman. This means it actually is builted in the Hebrew, and brought her to the man. Now then, God was teaching another lesson in relationships. And this lesson is, and this is true, it is a created relationship. It is not a hierarchy. It's not superiority, inferiority. It is a created relationship that God intended from the very beginning. Now let's notice it. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother," and father and mother is one relationship, "and cleave unto his wife," and that's another personal relationship, "and they shall be one flesh." Now that's what God wants it to be for us. And we're going to see that the ultimate that God wants is for it to be one spirit. So this is a created relationship. And God made the woman the weaker vessel. That is also a created reality of life. Now we need to understand that. God did not make women inferior. He made them, so in the created relationship, to be subject to their husbands. That's the way God has designed it. Now, no one can, you can argue all you want, but that's exactly what God has done, and that's what God expects. Now, out of the husband and wife relationship, or the man and wife relationship, then there were to be children born. That, likewise, is a created relationship. It is not a hierarchy. It is a created relationship which is supposed to be based on love, and the children are born as a result of that love. There is to be care, there is to be concern, and so this is important to really understand and grasp in the whole understanding of the relationship that God wants with us today and wants with us through all eternity, and what we are going to teach the people when we are kings and priests. In the millennium, we are going to have that kind of relationship with them in a very open way, like God intended to have with Adam and Eve at the beginning. Because in the beginning, God was in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. When they sinned, we saw they had to be put out, and we saw what that sin did. And so then we have also a removal from God, which then severs that relationship, or distance that relationship, if we could put it that way. Then when Cain and Abel were born, there was another created relationship. And each of them had a responsibility to God as well as to mother and father. That is also a created relationship which God intended. Then we saw a breaking and severing of that created relationship, because Cain did not want to obey God and follow him and do what God wanted. He wanted to do his own way and his own thing. And Abel, on the other hand, wanted to love God and serve him, and he did what God wanted. So Cain killed Abel. And that, again, severed another relationship, the brotherly relationship. And we're going to understand that that's part of the problem that we have in the world today. And yes, that's the deep problem we also have in the Church of God today, brethren. And we're going to see that God is laying upon us a great and tremendous responsibility here because of the relationship that he wants with us. So God created man and woman. He created the Sabbath day. He told them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He had to remove them one step because of sin. Then because of further sin, Cain had to be removed yet another step and put into the land of wandering. Yet God was still on the earth. And those who had the relationship with him were the patriarchs listed here in Genesis 5. And then, because man broke that relationship totally, corrupted God's way, became evil, and gave themselves over to Satan the devil, And Satan the devil was the one who broke that relationship with God by going against the created structure that God made. And this is something that we need to understand. So the whole world followed Satan the devil and destroyed all relationships with all human beings, and the whole world was wicked and evil and corrupt, and the earth was filled with violence, and God destroyed it, and except it were that Noah found grace in the sight of God, we wouldn't be here today. Well, when we come to the other side of the flood, there is another further removal of God. God no longer is on the earth in a permanent place in the Garden of Eden. God is now part of the time in heaven and part of the time on earth, and reveals himself only to whom he wills. So we come to Genesis 12, and God calls Abraham. And Abraham went through all the things to understand a personal relationship with God. And God loved Abraham, and Abraham loved God, and Abraham was called a friend of God, as we will see. And the ultimate test of that relationship, let's come to Genesis 22. The ultimate test of that relationship was a type of what God the Father was going to do with Jesus Christ that he did with Abraham and Isaac. To where would there be the love, and there would be the obedience, and there would be the worship of God to the point of death. Because that's what Jesus Christ was going to do. So you know the story. God told Abraham, you take your son, your only son, your beloved son, whom you love, and you take him to one of the mountains of Moriah that I tell you, and you offer him there for an offering. Well, Abraham did, and Isaac did, and they went, and the offering took place, and God supernaturally provided the ram caught in the thicket for the alternate sacrifice. But the whole lesson and the whole story was, because the relationship between Abraham and God was so great and was so strong that Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness, and he obeyed God. So therefore, the plan of God then was sealed in that relationship between Abraham, Isaac, and later and Jacob, and on down to our time. Now let's go to James, the second chapter, and let's understand something. This is what we need to realize, not only in the lives of the patriarchs, but also in our lives, and also in the relationship with one another that God has brought us into, because God has brought us into a created relationship within the church. It is not a relationship which we have done, but a relationship which God has done. And I want you to understand how serious and how desperate the condition of the church is today because of breaking that relationship in so many different ways by superimposing upon the church a hierarchical system, by superimposing upon the family a hierarchical system and calling it a hierarchy, which it is not. It is a created relationship based upon love and based upon obedience and to God and to each other. That's why there's the love of God and there is the love of neighbor and the love of family. Now, let's come here to James 2 and verse 23. It says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, we're going to see a little later that Jesus calls us his friends, no longer servants. Servant is a structured relationship which is not by creation. Being a friend of Christ, called of God the Father, and having the Holy Spirit is a created relationship which God has created. Now, this is profound for us to grasp and understand. We need to change our whole entire way of thinking in this understanding of God's relationship and our relationship with one another. And this will help us solve many, many problems once we really grasp and understand it. He was called a friend of God. Verse 24, now continuing in James 2. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. When we have this relationship with God, we must have the works of love and obedience to conform to that relationship. Now that's a whole different view of understanding things than here is a law and you must do it. It's the other way around. Here is God, here is your calling, here is what God expects you to do in love to him, in love to your neighbor, in love to the brethren. Now you see how profoundly different that God's way really is. Now verse 25, it says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. And so is a relationship. A relationship without the works of love and service is also dead. Now we're going to see that. Now let's come back here to Hebrews the 11th chapter, because this is important concerning the Feast of Tabernacles and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the offering of Isaac and so forth. It is very important that we understand this and realize why God gave the promises to Abraham, then subsequently to Isaac and to Jacob. It was because of the relationship that they had. Now let's come over here. Let's come over here to Hebrews 11. No wonder I couldn't find it. I was in Hebrews 12. Let me get to the next page. Okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should afterwards receive as an inheritance, he believed and went out, not knowing where he went. And that's the way it is with the relationship with God. We trust him in faith for everything, regardless of the circumstances around. God is always going to work it out. No question about it. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So this has to do with the Feast of Tabernacles and our sojourn here now and what we are going to be doing in the millennium in the kingdom of God. For he looked for a city whose foundation and whose builder and maker is God. So that there would be now then be a place for that permanent relationship. And that's what it's all about with New Jerusalem. Through faith also Sarah conceived, received strength to conceive seed and delivered a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And therefore sprung even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is upon the sea shore innumerable. Now that's all projecting forward to the plan of God. Now let's come down here to verse 17, or verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. And in that heavenly Jerusalem, there is going to be a profound, close relationship of love and understanding and obedience and cooperation and service and humility and all of those things coupled with glory and honor and riches and promise and wealth and everything, brethren. You need to understand that comes through a relationship with God. That does not come through just a structured hierarchical thing. Because God wants a spiritual relationship based on love and the family structure. That's what God is producing. And when we, as the bride of Christ, we'll see a little later, when we deal with the people in the millennium, that's exactly the kind of relationship that we are going to have with them. A family relationship based upon love, based upon the Spirit of God. But now they desire a better country, a heavenly one, wherein God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. and Christ is preparing it right now. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, a type of Christ, of whom it is said that Isaac, in Isaac shall your seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. Because his body was dead, reproductively speaking. Sarah's body was dead, reproductively speaking. So God performed a supernatural miracle. So Abraham counted God, because his relationship as a friend of God was so close with God, that he knew that if Isaac died, he would raise him from the dead. And it would be as though he had never died. So we need to understand that. And this is the kind of relationship that God wants us to have with him, to be a very friend of God. Now let's come back to Exodus 19. And let's look at the relationship that God wanted to have with Israel. And God did have a relationship with Israel, not as close as it was with Abraham, but nevertheless, we need to look at this whole thing that God did with Israel and what is called the Old Covenant, that God desired a relationship with Israel. And let's see it right here. Exodus 19. All the way through. Now let's pick it up here in verse 4. So Moses went up on the mountain, and this is the message that God gave him. You see what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings. Now, just stop and think for just a minute, brethren, how absolutely carnal the response of the Israelites were, not believing God, after seeing all of these miracles, after seeing the plagues brought upon Egypt, after crossing the Red Sea, after drinking water out of a rock, after having manna given from heaven, quail given from heaven, and they still rebelled against God. So you see, it was really something. Now that's why it's very important for us to understand. The Israelites never grasped the fact that God wanted a relationship with them. Now let's see what God said he would do. Verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, since God is the creator, the creation is always to obey God. Don't you believe that is true? Yet even though he gives us free moral agency, he wants us to obey him. And what is the first commandment of all? Hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. That is a relationship commandment. And we are going to see that, in fact, all the Ten Commandments are relationship commandments. How to keep and hold a relationship. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, well, that's all aspects of it, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, that is in a special relationship, above all people. For all the earth is mine. God is saying, look, I have all the earth to give you. So you see, this is very similar to what then he told Adam and Eve. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So he's saying the same thing here to Israel. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, that is in a special relationship. A holy nation above all the others. By a created relationship, beginning with calling Abraham, and of course God created Abraham, then supernaturally created Isaac, then we have Jacob and all the descendants. That's all by creation, isn't it? Didn't God create all of them? Yes, he did. And these are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. So Moses came down, gave the message. People said, all that the Lord has said, we will do. Well, you know, they had second thoughts of it a little later. But here, you examine the Ten Commandments from this light. Not only are we to obey them, but these are all designed to keep a pure and special relationship between God and his people. First one, no other gods. Second one, no idols, and don't worship them. Third one, don't take God's name in vain. And the fourth one, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, because that is the covenant day in which God is going to fellowship with his people. A special day from creation. So then he went on and said, okay, now I want you to be in a special relationship with your neighbor. And here's how to keep that relationship, beginning with what? The family. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long on the land which the Lord your God gives you. And that is one of the relationships that Satan likes to destroy. He likes to destroy the relationships any way he can. Relationship between God and the individual, relationship between husband and wife, relationships between children and mother and father. But this is why God gave these, to preserve the created relationship. And it is a created relationship. It is not a hierarchical structure. Then he gives all the rest of the commandments: not kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't covet, and so forth. So then God also gave the judgments and statutes, and we come to chapter 24, and again, all the people said, all that the Lord has said, we will do. So then there was the offering of the covenant, and the sacrifices were given, and Moses sprinkled the book of the covenant, sprinkled the people, and then Israel was married to God. And so immediately, right after that, chapter 25, as we saw on the very first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, God said, chapter 25 and verse 8, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, that God would have this special relationship with the children of Israel all the way down through their generations. That's what God desired to have. Well, then you know the rest of the story. Let's come over here to Isaiah 54 and verse 5. And let's see something very important that we need to understand. The relationship with Israel was one that God intended to be based upon a marriage relationship, a created relationship. He did, and to show that this relationship was to be one without oppression, he did not desire them to have a king. So God gave them, and gave them, it's very important to understand, God gave them a system of judges, so that God would work through the judges and work with the people. Therefore, there was no great structure above the people, between the people and God. When they sinned, yes, they would come to the priest, they would offer the sacrifice and so forth, but that was also just a facilitating thing by the priesthood in relationship to the relationship with God being married to Israel. And that's what God intended. Well, when they sinned, when Moses was on the mount, again, they had to be further removed from that relationship. And somehow, the children of Israel just didn't want that relationship. Now then, let's pick it up here in Isaiah 54 and verse 5. For your maker is your husband. Just like God created Adam and created Eve. God created Israel and married Israel. Your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Now, not only does this have to do with Israel, but this has to do with spiritual Israel being the church. Because God is creating a spiritual relationship now with the church, which is going to be profound for all eternity. And in this relationship, we need to learn now today, and now today during the Feast of Tabernacles, and as we go on through the rest of the time to the return of Jesus Christ, to maintain this relationship. So you see how important this is. This is why all of the things that God has done are profound. Now, men come along and want a religion. They want a non-relationship with God. but they want their religion and structure it the way that they want to and take God's name and tag onto it and call it of God. But it is not of God because they are not in a relationship with God. And they are not in a covenant relationship with God. Israel was in a covenant relationship with God, and God was their husband. For the Lord has called you as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when you were refused, says your God. For a small moment I have forsaken you. Now that's how God looks at it when he turns his back on Israel. A small moment. But let's see what Israel did. Let's go to Ezekiel 16. And here's what breaks the relationship. Just like in a marriage of physical people, fornication and adultery breaks that relationship because that relationship, as we saw, that they two shall become one flesh. Sexual immorality, fornication, homosexuality, and all of that breaks that relationship of one flesh, the two becoming one. This is why homosexuality is such an abomination to God, because it's going contrary to the created relationship between man and woman that God ordained. And he ordained it to be in love. And he ordained it that the man is the head. And he ordained it with male and female the way that God has designed it, so that they become one flesh, as we're going to see, which is a great mystery with the church. And Paul wrote about that. And that's all a part of what we're going to be doing when we are spirit beings in the millennium. Now let's come here to Ezekiel 16. And let's see something. And what I want you to do, instead of thinking of it as Israel alone, what I want you to do is think of it as about yourself and God calling you. Now, it won't be exactly in the same, but nevertheless, God had to reach down and call you and bring you out of this world and bring you to him and lead you to repentance and grant you his Holy Spirit and establish this relationship with you. And then we need to ask the question, now what are we doing with this relationship from here on? Now here in Ezekiel 16, let's read it. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus says the Lord unto Jerusalem, Your birth and your nativity were is in the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite, your mother was a Hittite, and as for your nativity, in the day that you were born, your navel was not cut. Neither were you washed with water to supple you. Neither were you salted at all, nor swaddled at all. In other words, just a reject. Now, brethren, let's understand something. God has not called us because we are the strong of the world. God has not called us because we're the intelligent, we're the wise, we're the elite, we're part of the establishment. No, God has called us because we're weak, because we're foolish, because God is going to confound the world by converting us and changing us. So, spiritually speaking, we were in the same condition. And no, I pitied you to do any of these things to you, to have compassion on you, but you were cast out into the open field to the loathing of your person in the day that you were born. So the Israelites were rejected, weren't they? Taken into captivity, weren't they? By the Egyptians. Yes, and they were born a nation one day when they came out in the Exodus. And when I passed by you, I saw you were polluted in your own blood, and I said unto you, when you were in your own blood, live. And that's what God is telling us today. Live. Live physical life and spiritual life as ahead at the resurrection. Yea, I said unto you, when you were in your blood, live. And it's the same way with us. In blood means that you're in your sins, spiritually speaking. And you have to have that cleansed with the blood of Christ. And I cause you to multiply as a bud in the field, and you were increased and waxed great, and you are come to an excellent to excellent ornaments. Your breasts are fashioned, your hair is grown, and whereas you were naked and bare, now when I passed by you and looked upon you, behold, the time your time was of love, and I spread my skirts over you and covered your nakedness. He married Israel, just like we saw back there in Isaiah 54. And in Exodus 24, when they said, yes, all that the Lord has said we will do. Sounds very much like the covenant of wedding, doesn't it? Do you faithfully promise to love and obey and cleave and cherish? Yes, I do. Do you faithfully promise to submit unto your husband as unto the Lord? Yes, I do. And that's what Israel said. Yes, I will. God said, I will. Yea, I swore unto you and entered into a covenant with you. And brethren, we've entered into a covenant with God. And we've entered into a covenant that there are only two things going to happen to us. One, enter into the kingdom of God. Or two, go into the lake of fire. One of the two. And if we don't understand the relationship that we need to have with God, then we are also going to diminish the reward that God has for us. And God wants to give us great rewards. And God wants to give us great blessings. But somehow our carnal nature is there, and oh no, we don't want to do this. Oh no, God is just interested in thumbing down women, and women say, well, I got to control the man, and all this sort of thing. Nonsense. Let's put all that aside. That's a carnality of the world. That's not what God ever intended at all. That's not what God intended with Israel. Look at what God did to Israel. Look how much God put up with Israel. But I'll tell you one thing. God is not going to put up with it much longer with the churches of God and with the people of God and the way that they're going and doing and destroying each other and destroying relationship with God and having doctrines and teachings which take them away from God. Now, you see, we're into some very difficult things here. Let's go on. And I swore unto you, entered into a covenant with you, says the Lord, and you became mine. And I washed you with water. And we're going to see we are washed with the water of the Word. Yea, I thoroughly washed away the blood from you and anointed you with oil. And I clothed you with broidery work and shod you with badger skin. Now, if he did this physically for Israel, brethren, think what God is going to do spiritually for the church. Well, let's just stop right here. Hold your place in Ezekiel 16, and let's go to Malachi, the third chapter, and let's see what God is going to do. God is preparing right now the spiritual things that he's going to give to us at the resurrection that we are going to have all through the millennium and increase beyond there through all eternity. See, God has called us to the greatest thing that there is. Now, let's pick it up here and let's see. Verse 13, let's start out with how people view God. Your words have been stout against me, says the Lord, yet you say, what have we spoken so much against you? You have said it is vain to serve the Lord. Now, how do people say it's vain to serve the Lord? Well, they do it very simply. By saying, well, the commandments of God are not important. They say it is a religion. They bring in all the ways of the world. They throw out the Sabbath, throw out the holy days, and we've seen that happen in the Church of God. And brethren, let me tell you something. I believe that a lot of the things that are happening in the world today and in the United States today is a direct result of the abominable behavior of the churches of God and their relationship with God. They're destroying it. Where is the church? Where are the people? Where are the ministers? Where is truth? Yea, where is the relationship? All angry and hostile against God, casting away his commandments behind them, forsaking the Sabbath, forsaking the holy days, and saying how great and righteous and good we are. Utterly destroying the relationship just exactly as Israel did.